Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday, George Kittle leads the Niners against the Eagles, or Matt Ryan and the Falcons take on Tom Brady and the defending champion Bucks. Check local listings for the games in your area only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Fans have won nearly $5 million on the Fox Bet Super 6 app, and Terry Bradshaw is putting another million on the line for NFL Week 2. Scan the QR code on the screen, download the app for free, and predict the outcome of 6 NFL games for your shot to win. Call and help our fans win Terry's money. Give us your winner and margin of victory for Rams at Colts.
Well, last week I liked a lot of underdogs. This week, the way the numbers line up, I tend to like favorites. There's a lot of favorites I like. I think this game's particularly hard. My rule is if a really good team is humiliated or plays poorly, they'll bounce back. So the Colts played very poorly, got trounced at home. Potential upset, Colts over the Rams. Because everybody's telling the Rams how beautiful they are.
Yes.
And everybody's telling the Colts, you stink. And we know the Rams are really good, but it's late Sunday night. You're on the road. I think it's very close. I don't have a score yet. It's very close. The line's like 4. That feels like too many points to give Frank Reich. Their offensive line was so bad last week. You're like, okay, that's not going to happen again. Watch the teams that are capable. Like, I'm not talking bad teams that get trounced. You're bad. But a good team gets kind of, like, plays really poorly, like the Colts, and gets pushed around like the Colts.
And like the Packers.
They're going to play well.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Packers, Greg Jennings, Super Bowl, 2-time Pro Bowler, Fox Sports analyst, joins us live. So, without leading you in any direction, just what was your initial response to that mess by the Packers week one? Just you're the game's over and you're thinking what?
They weren't ready. They weren't ready collectively as a team and individually. When you look at the way Aaron Rodgers performed, he wasn't ready. I saw a quarterback in a team that felt like they were just going to beat the New Orleans Saints because of them not being the Saints with Drew Brees, and they have Jameis Winston. And I could just hear even now in the locker room, in the meeting rooms, you know, the coaching staff saying, if we get pressure on this guy, he's going to give us opportunities. He's going to give us the ball. And the offensively, you knowing, okay, are you going into the game thinking you're going to get more opportunities because of turnovers, because of takeaways that your defense gives you. But that didn't happen, and they had to fight. They were in a dog fight from the jump, and they were not prepared for that type of fight.
Yeah. Have you personally, as a Packer, or maybe not, had a game when you knew within a series or two, we're not ready to play?
Yeah. But it was in a different type of situation. I remember, you know, we were 13-2 at the time, and we were going to the playoffs. We had a bye, and we went down to Chicago last week of the season, and Mike McCarthy really wanted to win that game to set a franchise record in wins. And we got out there and everybody played, and they just punched us in the mouth. We didn't want to be there. Again, different circumstances, but everybody, and this is where you get in trouble as players, but you have to be mindful of it because it is real. When you start saying it's just one game, because those performances, regardless of you, how great you carry them or how much height you put into them or how much you try to downplay them, they trickle over moving forward. I don't care what you try to do. You better correct and take away the good and the bad from both opportunities.
So tonight, Daniel Jones plays, and this is my takeaway on being an NFL quarterback. Your first year, I'm not going to judge you. I mean, you're over your skis. The game's real fast. You may not have the perfect elements. There's probably a reason a great college quarterback is starting. Your team stinks. Year two, I want to see development and growth. So Daniel Jones has 27 starts. He's not accurate. He turns it over. He doesn't win. I don't see a ton of it. By Thanksgiving, he's going to have 36 starts. That's over two full years. So, and I think the world's changed. These kids now are more ready to play once they get to the NFL, so I'm a little harder now than I was 5-10 years ago. So, Daniel Jones, what will you see? Because he has struggled so far. Greg, what will you see with Daniel Jones over the next 5 or 6 weeks where you will go, I don't think this is going to work? Will there be something you see that you're just like, it's, you can wait 2 years, it's not going to work?
Well, I think he's continued to show us, if I'm being honest, Colin. Like, you can't, number one, ask at the quarterback position. If you have the football in your hand, in your possession, every single offensive snap, you have to protect the football. We get it. You're going to throw interceptions. You're going to miss throws. You're going to have balls get tipped and, you know, interceptions happen. But when you're putting the ball on the ground, you're not even giving us a chance. And that is where I feel like this is something that it's either in his head or it's just who he is. And he's not going to come out of it. When you've led the league in fumbles as a quarterback, yeah, and we can all say, well, it's the offensive line and he's getting hit when he's not expecting to get hit. Well, running backs carry the ball every single time they touch the ball. And the expectation is for them to not fumble, period. I don't care how good or how poor you are. And so the expectation when you have the ball in your hand is to protect it. And he hasn't shown that he can do that. Forget everything else. Forget everything else. He can't protect the football, so he can't be somebody you rely on to win games.
Yeah, no, it's bad. The fumble thing is a mess. So take me into being a pro athlete. DeMarcus Lawrence can't play for the Cowboys this week, and we know it's not a great defense. So take me into the psychology of a player, because I said earlier, it doesn't matter. I just watched Patrick Mahomes win without Frank Clark or Honey Badger. I've seen Aaron Rodgers go 6-0 without Devontae Adams. Brady didn't have O.J. Howard. He didn't have Vita Vea. He didn't have Chris Godwin. That's the reality of the NFL. You're always missing good players. So, but if you were on an offense or a defense and you heard your best player was out, does it change the Cowboy locker room? Does it change your confidence that your best player on one side of the ball is out this week against a really young, good team?
Not if you think that you are actually the best player. And that's where I feel like getting a guy like Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, these young guys, they feel like I'm that guy. I'm one of the best players, if not the best player. They may not go out and say it publicly, but you better believe that this is how they're carrying themselves. But can they step up to the plate with the little experience that they do have and fill that void? This is where I feel like you brought in Dan Quinn, not just to make DeMarcus Lawrence better, because we know what he is. We know his ceiling is high. He can continue to grow. But we brought Dan Quinn in to allow everybody else to become even better, to complement what DeMarcus Lawrence does. So this is a lot of pressure that I see being put on Dan Quinn and his scheme. And how can he put this defensive guy, this defensive personnel, which is really good, in positions to put pressure on the quarterback to where they still create turnovers and they get a lot of pressure even without their best defensive guy?
All right. So finally, I got to admit, the Eagles coach Nick Sirianni was not good at the podium, and I have a bias on guys that are bad at the podium because I talk for a living. So if you're bad at the podium, I don't think you can lead men. And then I watch Philadelphia. I know it's terrible, but I mean, let's we all have our little biases. Like if you're lousy at a mic, like Sean McVay is so good at the microphone, I'm like, oh, that guy can coach, you know. So he was so bad at the mic, and then I watch Philadelphia. I'm like, oh my God, they're totally buttoned up. So how long will I have to see these Eagles before I, the cynic, how many weeks before I'm like, okay, that's not like an aberration. They're well coached. Like you can get lucky. You can have games, you get turnovers. But at what point, if you are a cynic on a team or a player, that you see something over and over and you're finally like, okay, I was wrong on that. Like how many Eagle wins do I have to see? Because I was shocked by how well they played.
Well, I think for me, it's not so much about just the head coach and how he presents himself at the podium. If you can lead men, if you watch the team play and you see how sound they played and how fundamentally locked in they were, that tells me what I need to know as you as a head coach. Then you see, who are we calling our leaders on this team? who is our alpha? And their alpha played like an extreme alpha. And that's Jalen Hurts, someone who we've questioned but has not wavered. This is what makes a really good team. When you are underdogs, but you play like you're not, you believe that you're not, but you don't care what everybody else says, and you don't do everything right. You don't check every box coming off the bus. You don't always look the part. But once you put your uniform on and collectively as a team, when we dress together and we stomp together and we take a step forward together, we look pretty darn good. That's why right now hearing you, I smile and smirk, because I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be a very well-rounded team because they're not reliant on one individual. They're truly relying on themselves collectively as a team.
By the way, you just won a big award. You're a very humble guy. You refuse to talk about it. You don't do Instagram. So Joey and I know something right now about you. Would you be mad at me if I mentioned it?
I wouldn't be mad. I do Instagram. I have a hard time celebrating myself with.
Would you be mad at me? Is this uncomfortable?
I wouldn't be mad.
Okay.
I wouldn't be mad.
Greg just won Mr. Universe. Okay. So I enjoy pudding, so I don't have abs. He has the best abs in the universe. That is unbelievable. So if I won like California's best body, he would walk up and go, I am Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
So he has the best abs in the universe.
If I won Mrs. Universe, is it Mrs. Universe? Miss Universe? I guess it's Miss Universe.
It is.
But not like the pageant. I would be insufferable. You would not want to be
well,
around.
I think for me, because of all the work that goes into it, the stage and the title and the competition day, it's just such a small part. It's what everybody comes to know and celebrate you for. But if you don't embrace the process and the journey and get fulfillment out of that, then it's almost like, why are you really doing it? So I praise more of the journey and the process and the dedication of getting there. And once I get there, my expectation is always to win.
I won Employee of the Month, and I literally bragged about it for 4 years. He won Mr. Universe. He won't put it on Instagram. That's what the quality of a human being. He must have had really good parents, too. He must be a nice guy.
Like, you ate grilled chicken and vegetables every day for, like, a year.
Greg,
everyone
yes.
would know about it.
You are a
yes.
very, you
Congrats,
are very
Greg.
Humble man. We're very proud of you. We just want you to know that. You're amazing, and you never talk
it.
About it, and it's unbelievable. I'm never going to take my shirt off near Greg Jennings for my entire life. It's a bad look for anybody. Great seeing you, buddy.
Likewise. Take care, guys.
Yeah. He literally won Mr. Universe and Mexico City. We'll never talk about it.
I would tell every person ran into.
No.
I have the best natural body on planet Earth.
I have a bowling trophy.
I didn't give it to myself. Like, that's what I was awarded.
I have a bowling trophy. When I was single, I'd take it on dates. Seventh grade.
Oh, seventh grade? Yeah, well, you know, you got to stunt a little bit.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
You know how much water he had to drink?
The guy had a cookie 16 years ago. He doesn't eat anything that we do. I mean, he doesn't, you can't.
Ow. I did a hard workout 2 days ago, and it hurts to laugh. Greg's winning Mr. Universe. So the Packers did not play like everyone expected them to play in that shocking 38-3 blowout loss to the Saints last weekend, as we were just discussing with Greg Jennings. Devontae Adams admitted they didn't have the performance that they wanted, and he's hoping they can learn their lesson from having such a terrible start.
It just got weird, man. It was a weird game. We had like 12 plays in the first half. You know, our defense wasn't getting off the field and just wasn't our best display. We came out really flat, and I think that it'll be a really good wake-up call for us.
Well, they're favored by 11 against the Lions, according to Fox Bet. So, you know, we were talking about some teams like the Colts that didn't have great performances week one and then bouncing back. I expect the Packers to bounce back this week. 11 is still a lot of points because
those
feisty Lions.
The Lions were getting just boat race. So even though the score is close, I watched the first three quarters of that game. I stopped watching until the craziness ensued.
No, it was a blowout. The score was not a great reflection of how the game actually went. But, you know, if you're going to if you're going to gamble on it, then you want to pay attention to that. But I do think the Packers are going to have a better performance this week. Look, like they're not that bad of a team. I think it'll balance out as the season goes on. But it is something to pay attention to. Everything is something. And I've been on Team Rodgers all offseason. I have no problem with pushing back if you're one of five men on earth who do what you do at the level that you do it, to have a little, you know, controller input or whatever in your career. But it was a lot of energy exerted at not football. And you can't say it's nothing when you come out with a week one performance like that.
Yeah.
Do I think the lockdown will be better? Yes. But it's also why I don't, you know, like Rodgers for MVP this year. I don't really think that they're going to have the same level of season as they've had in the past couple of years, because this is the last season to me for Rodgers in Green Bay. It might be the last season for Devontae Adams in Green Bay. We don't know. But it just feels like this is coming to an end. And as much as you want to lock in on this season, you know, it's not quite the same situation as The Last Dance.
No.
They had a few more championships under their belt, a little bit more continuity. You know, Phil Jackson, some other things and other factors that kept them from going off the rails that year. So Matt Ryan has never beaten a Tom Brady-led team in his NFL career. Most notable loss, obviously, Super Bowl. They blew a 28-3 lead and lost to the Patriots in overtime. But he'll be blocking out that memory when he faces Brady again on Sunday. He said, of course, we want to win. He's not going to make up for that. It's one of those things. It's part of your past. It's part of what happened. But it's got no bearing on this week. Look, anytime Matt Ryan and the Falcons play Tom Brady, this is going to be a conversation.
Well,
like, it's
also,
just the way it goes.
Also, the last time they were really good.
Yeah.
Well, that was it. They haven't been good since.
The Bucs are favored by 12.5 against the Falcons.
That just seems... I know they'll cover, but it NFL's interesting because Atlanta looked terrible. Here's why I like Tampa in this game big, because Tampa didn't play particularly well. They didn't.
They turned the ball over a lot.
And they just did not play well. Their tackling wasn't great. So I could see Tampa. I don't think Atlanta's quite that bad, but don't be fooled. I had an executive tell me that the Cowboys essentially unloaded their whole playbook on Tampa. Like, they really wanted to make an impression for Dak, and Tampa still won. So Tampa didn't play well. They got the best punch from Dallas, and Atlanta was one of the big disappointments in the league week one. Like, Green Bay, obviously. But a lot of people that I respect really liked Atlanta as a wild card team.
Yeah, I don't get into it with Atlanta. I just let Atlanta do their thing. But we talked about this after that game. Great teams, if they win ugly, don't like it. They take a lot from it. Teams that aren't that great that lose well, like the Cowboys, look at that as a moral victory. So to your point, even though they won, Tampa Bay is going to try and fix those mistakes.
Right.
And, you know, probably take it out on Atlanta. So Time Magazine released their list of the 100 most influential people of 2021.
All right.
And a handful of athletes made the cut.
Okay.
Simone Biles, Tom Brady, Allyson Felix, Sunisa Lee, Shohei Ohtani, and Naomi Osaka. Interestingly enough,
Influential people.
Influential people, yeah. No NBA players.
So the 100 most influential athletes and not a single...
No, not athletes. People. And so these were the athletes that were on the list.
Well, I think LeBron's one of the most influential athletes.
Yeah, I would definitely include LeBron James.
I'm trying to think of somebody else. Steph Curry still moves merchandise. Steph Curry's one of the more influential athletes.
I would think Kevin Durant.
Durant's great. Is he influential? He's great. Like, Kawhi's great.
I mean, if I'm going to do the, you know, Time 100 list, I would obviously have LeBron on it. Like, you know, you don't have to include an athlete from every sport, but the NBA is an international sport, so it is kind of surprising. But Tom Brady's still there, year 457. He's on a lot more commercials now. Did you notice that?
Oh, it's so funny you mentioned that. He's on a lot of commercials. I absolutely noticed. I saw him in one with Giselle, and I was like, oh, he's doing them now with his wife. He's doing commercials. Boy, his personality is, I've seen him drunk on a boat. I've seen him throwing stuff into the water almost.
Avocado tequila.
He's a totally, it's not that he's a different guy. He's a funnier guy now. Like, we get to see what he had. He had to hide a personality.
Well, he was with an organization that didn't really celebrate and elevate personalities. Although I would argue Gronk did fine there, being one of the biggest personalities in the sport for a long time.
Yeah.
But Brady, you know, just was a company man, and now I think he's in a space where he has a lot more flexibility and a platform to kind of let loose a little bit. So yeah, I agree. This is always who Tom was. He just wasn't in a space where he, I guess, felt comfortable or wanted to show this side of himself.
Very interesting. It's funny you picked up on that, because I thought the same thing about 2 days ago. It was
Sunday. I mean, I only ever saw Tom, I think I've seen him in like a mattress commercial.
And he's all over it now.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
I love it.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this sounds kind of ridiculous. Escape QuickBooks. That doesn't sound ridiculous. Escape QuickBooks, NetSuite by Oracle, netsuite.com/herd, one-of-a-kind financing, number one financial system. This sounds ridiculous. That you would panic, like week two in the NFL, you would panic. But there are things you see. I mean, Baltimore, when they lost three running backs, panicked a little, right? Like, there are things you see. So, Joy, we're going to do a panic meter.
All right, let's do it. Scale of 1 to 10, how panicked should the Cowboys be?
Just a 4. DeMarcus Lawrence is out for 2 months. This is not a good defense.
No.
But here's the good news. They don't play another playoff team until November 21. And they did force 4 turnovers against the Super Bowl champions. So I worry about the injury a little bit on a bad defense, but the schedule gets easy.
How panicked should the Falcons be, 1 to 10?
I'll say a 7. Here's why. They've always scored points at home in the Matt Ryan era. 6 points last week. Fewest they've scored at home in 7 years and the second fewest in the Matt Ryan era. And we don't think Philadelphia is a great defense. So they couldn't move the ball, and that's the one thing even their bad teams have done. They were awful on third down, 3-14. So it's concerning. And by the way, you face a better defense this week, meaning you're probably 0-2 with a new head coach.
Scale of 1 to 10, how panicked should the Jets be?
This is a 7-2. They couldn't run the ball, meaning you're going to be significantly more reliant on Zach Wilson, which is sort of a problem because Mekhi Becton, your left tackle, is now hurt. This is now going to be a highly leveraged quarterback team. He's got to be great. It was an average O-line entering the year. Maybe it's weaker. And they showed no ability. They ran for 45 yards. And that's not a great Carolina defense. It's a concern. They play the Patriots this week.
How about the Washington football team?
Well, I would say 6 because they're now in week 2 and a backup quarterback. So what are you going to say? Also, their defense, as great as it is, was bad on third down. I credit simply Justin Herbert for that. But, you know, this is the criticism we both had of Ron Rivera. It's like, bro, when you got a defense that good, don't waste it with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Be aggressive. How panicked should the Browns be?
1. They averaged 8 yards a play. They lost to the best team in the NFL. Their next 3 games, Texans, Bears, Vikings, have a chance to blow out all 3. 0 panic. Plus, they're going to get OBJ back in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
How panicked should the Jaguars be?
You'd be surprised, but I would say 2. Trevor Lawrence, as Greg Cosell told us, pretty good. 332 passing yards, 3rd most ever. First career game, they played a veteran Texans team. If he's good, I don't care if they win 3 games. If he's good and grows, they're fine.
How panicked should the Packers be?
I would say three. They had a very noisy offseason. The schedule gets weaker. It's the same team that went 13-3. They rushed just 15 times last week because they fell into a huge hole. So it was not a typical game. When you fall behind fast, you abandon your running game, and your running game is pretty good. I would say a three simply because their O-line got pushed around. That concerns me. Like, pushed around badly for the entire first half.
1 to 10, how panicked should the Bills be?
I'll go 2 or 3. First of all, they were in the red zone 4 times. Last year, they scored touchdowns 60% of the times. Okay, this week, they couldn't score touchdowns. I think a lot of it was their weakness. Their O-line met the best front seven in the league, and they just couldn't get touchdowns out of it. So I think that Pittsburgh, for that game, is a bad matchup. Pittsburgh totally healthy, but I think they have room to grow, and I think they'll bounce back against Miami.
How panicked should the Titans be?
6. So they have new coordinators. They will get better. But 7 of their next 9 games are against playoff teams. So, like, the schedule's tough. The division's weak. The schedule is tough. And also, Ryan Tannehill, we always thought was kind of a C quarterback until Arthur Smith arrived. Now, we don't know if Arthur Smith will work as a head coach, but he's a great coordinator. He's gone. So it was not a good first look for that offense that doesn't have a great O-line anyway with Arthur Smith leaving. Again, some guys are just great coordinators. We don't know if Arthur Smith can be a head coach. Didn't look like it week 1, but he was a great, great coordinator.
How about the Bears?
I would say 6, teetering on 7. Here's your biggest problem. They couldn't get the Rams off the field, and this is not an offense with a lot of juice. So I believe this Bears defense peaked about 2 years ago in the Mitch Trubisky years. But what I saw at the end of last year and what I see with the Bears defense this year, they struggle on third down. Great defenses, even really good defenses, get you off the field on third down, unless, like Washington, you're facing a wildly talented quarterback.
How panicked should the Niners be?
A 2, and here's why. Because they lost their running back, Raheem Mostert. But then they brought in Elijah Mitchell, and he ran for 100 yards. This is what the Niners do in Kyle Shanahan. This is why they don't need to ever draft a running back in the first 2 or 3 rounds. The Shanahan system makes the running back. So they put a rookie in. He was fantastic.
Finally, how panicked should the Patriots be?
Actually, very low. I was thinking of a 1, but they do have a rookie quarterback. I would say 2 to 3. They averaged over 9 plays per drive and 4.5 minutes per drive. You want to know what's amazing? Those were both the highest in the league. Now think about that. 9 plays per drive with a rookie quarterback against Brian Flores' defense. So what that leads me to believe is New England has a chance to blow out the Jets this week. Because that was as good a loss about as you can have in the NFL. Rookie quarterback, 9 play drives against the Jets. My problem with all the bets this week I like, they're almost all favorites, and I generally love underdogs. But think about it. The Jets now can't run the football at all, meaning they're going to become incredibly reliant on Zach Wilson against the coach who crushes young quarterbacks. And oh, by the way, against a way better defense than the Jets, New England averaged 9 plays a drive. Had they not had a red zone fumble, they would have won the football game. See, again, I'm talking myself into taking favorites, which I don't, because I always view fans take favorites and fans don't win betting. Sharps take dogs. So I'm always trying to be a sharp. Mm-hmm. I would like to at some point get the sharp lapel button or something because sharps tend to take dogs. But all the games I like this week are all favorites.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of bounce back games. There's a couple weird losses in the first week that I think it will be a little more balanced in week 2.
All right. Tired of waiting around for hot water? Who isn't? Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Tanklessmadesimple.com. 15-year warranties with Navien tankless water heaters. Good stuff today. Greg Cosell, Greg Jennings, Mr. Universe, we call him around here. Mm-hmm. Peter King, archive it, podcast at whatevs. Got good stuff for Joy and Ryan. That's a good day today. Tonight, Giants, Washington. Got a feeling Daniel Jones going to really struggle without Evan Engram and a good O-line. It's the Herd.